This is Jordan Seculo. As shocking as it may sound, tonight, the U.S. Senate votes to criminalize infanticide in the United States.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
I said it in the tease, but it is shocking that we have to have this vote in the United States Senate tonight in 2019 in the United States of America. A vote, this is the title of the legislation, sponsored by Senator Ben Sasse with 48 other co-sponsors. I'll tell you who didn't co-sponsor it on the Republican side. No Democrat co-sponsors, and four Republicans who did not co-sponsor this. The language, the legislation is actually called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. The fact that we have to even address protecting children who are born alive in the United States, you know, they are born alive. And we need legal protections. It's interesting because there's already legislation back that was passed years ago, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. That's law. But the abortionists found a loophole around it. So if it's part of an abortion procedure, this law doesn't really apply. So now we need a new law, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. And I will be honest with you right now, it is an uphill battle. But I think as we head into 2020, these Senate votes are very important. Now, I can't go through every co-sponsor. There's 48 of those on the Republican side, plus the lead sponsor, Senator Ben Sasse. So kudos to them for bringing this forward. That's 49 members of the U.S. Senate. But Than, there are four Republicans who have not co-sponsored this legislation.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Susan Collins of Maine, Cory Gardner of Colorado, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska have not co-sponsored this legislation. Jordan, I am somewhat optimistic that Lamar Alexander and Cory Gardner may vote for this legislation in the end. I'm disappointed they're not co-sponsors of it. That way we would have assurance that they would be supportive of it. I do believe that Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins are probably going to vote against it, which is really rather shocking, Jordan. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, or otherwise, if there is a human being laying on a medical table fighting for life, viable, has life, has breath in his or her lungs, and a medical physician that is there and capable of providing care to save that child's life, the fact that you would not support a requirement for that medical professional to do it is rather shocking. And Jordan, I think you're very correct to point out this was supposed to be the intent several years ago when the Born Alive Infant Protection Act passed. However, that has not been the case. If a child survives an abortion, abortionists have been able to get away with letting that child die on the table. Tonight, in the United States Senate, every U.S. senator is going to have to go down to the floor and make a statement and cast a vote on whether or not they think that child should be provided care. Jordan, that should be a very easy call, but for some, I fear it will not be.
I want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We've got an email out about this today, so you can take action by signing that petition. So check your ACLJ. The email came today from my dad, our ACLJ chief counsel. You should have an email from Jay Seculo today on this legislation. We need you to sign that petition now. As Than said, the vote is scheduled for tonight, somewhere around 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's an uphill battle because you got to get to 60 votes for cloture. Remember, you have to have that 60-vote threshold to actually get to a vote on the legislation. It is shocking that we have to even have a vote like this in the U.S. Senate. But remember what's happening in New York. Remember the legislation proposed in Virginia. The legislation moving forward in Vermont. And there's additional seven other states that basically have no restriction on abortion whatsoever. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And let me tell you, if you live in Tennessee, call Senator Alexander. If you live in Maine, call Senator Collins. If you live in Colorado, call Senator Gardner. And if you live in Alaska, call Senator Murkowski. Call those four Republicans if you live in their states. The Capitol switchboard number is 202-224-3121 and tell them to support this legislation. We'll be right back.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a five-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
You know, folks, sometimes it's very important, especially when we head into election cycles, and always when we're fighting for the life of the, in most cases, we're talking about, we say life of the unborn. In this case, we are talking about the life of the born and protecting them in America in 2019. In a vote that is going to be very uphill tonight in the U.S. Senate. It needs 60 votes to go through the cloture motion. And right now it has 48 co-sponsors. They're all Republicans. We listed the four Republicans for you who did not co-sponsor this. Again, that's Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Susan Collins of Maine, Cory Gardner of Colorado, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. We want you, if you're from those states, to call their office and encourage them to support this. Again, this legislation, it was sponsored by Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska. But it has 48 additional co-sponsors, so 49 sponsors total. You can call them by all the same number, Capital Switchboard, 202-224-3121, and you encourage them to vote yes for cloture on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act tonight. What this literally does is criminalize infanticide in the U.S., because previous legislation passed, which tried to do the same thing, the abortion industry has found loopholes within. And we'll explain that throughout the show today, why the previous legislation, which also seems very clear, when you look at it, Infant Protection Act, Born Alive Infant Protection Act, has found an abortion, the loophole, so it's just not being enforced that way. So we need this. This is not something that is just like an idea. When you have New York passing the law, it did. When you have Vermont passing even a more, looking to pass a even more extreme version of what New York did. And when you look at what happened in Virginia, what was put forward. Again, this is a very real issue in America right now. It's an uphill battle. I don't want to sell you on an idea that this is going to pass easily through the U.S. Senate. Though it should, you would think in America in 2019, criminalizing infanticide is not a divisive issue. But it is because of the abortion industry. But let's find out where every one of these senators votes. Let's get them on the record because it is absurd that they would vote against this, that they would not allow this vote to even move forward. There are Democrats to focus on as well, just a handful. But Than, I think it's important we go through those for, I know we did it for Facebook and Periscope, but for our radio audience as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the list should actually be long, Jordan, but I would start with three senators who pretty clearly and unequivocally campaigned as pro-life Democrats. Those are Doug Jones from Alabama, Bob Casey from Pennsylvania, and Joe Manchin from West Virginia. I would maybe also loop in John Tester from Montana. I would suggest that maybe his rhetoric was a little more nuanced than the other three. But Jordan, those first three, those three senators went before their voters and said that they would come to Washington, D.C. and be pro-life Democrats, that they would break with their party when it came to issues of life. Well, I can't think of an easier threshold vote to get to than a bill that outlaws infanticide. I mean, you can get to some of the nuance, but essentially, Jordan, what you're talking about is a child who is survived an abortion attempt, is viable and laying on a medical table, and these senators are going to have to go down to the floor and decide whether or not that child has legal rights to medical care. If you can't cast a vote for that, Jordan, you are not a pro-life senator. And I don't care if you're a Republican. We do have a couple of Republicans that are a problem on this bill, or a Democrat or an independent. If you cannot cast a yes vote tonight, you are not a pro-life senator. So I would start with Doug Jones, Bob Casey, and Joe Manchin on the Democrat side.
And on the Republican side, it is Susan Collins, Cory Gardner, Lisa Murkowski, and Lamar Alexander. We expect, Than, that Lamar Alexander from Tennessee and Cory Gardner from Colorado are likely yes votes, just for some reason didn't end up co-sponsors.
Yeah, I hope so, Jordan. Yeah. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say I expect it, because, you know, honestly, when you get to 49 co-sponsors and there's only four from the entire caucus that are missing, I don't think it really could be an accident that they're not on here. Maybe they were hoping it wasn't going to come up for a vote. But I would tell you this. I'm not very optimistic on Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. They have made pretty proactive statements that they will not support the legislation. I think that Cory Gardner and Lamar Alexander are gettable. So, yes, I hope that that's the case, Jordan.
All right. And again, you know, Cory Gardner up for re-election. You have to wonder if he's playing politics with this in Colorado. You should never play politics with the life of a born child. I mean, we are not talking about unborn. We're not even, this is not even, you know, really abortion we're talking about. We're talking about infanticide having to be voted on and criminalized in the U.S. And the excuse, what is the excuse, Than, for senators to vote no on this?
There's not one, Jordan. I mean, the abortion lobby in Washington, D.C. says that it will restrict a woman's right to seek an abortion procedure. Of course, that is not accurate. The only thing that we're talking about is if there's a living child on the table. But look, the abortion lobby in Washington, D.C., Jordan, we've talked about this many times. Anytime there needs to be a debate over any kind of restriction, any kind of criteria, any kind of definition of life, they are going to come out and actively lobby against it. And I will tell you their motivation. Their motivation, Jordan, is that there is never a line drawn to define life. Because if there's a line drawn, then they have to debate it and defend it. And they know that science is showing us that that line is moving earlier and earlier in the gestational phase. So, Jordan, that's their excuse. But if you're a United States senator, the question is extraordinarily simple. Do you think that medical care should be provided to a human being who is viable and seeking that care, unable to defend themselves, on the table? It's really as simple as that. So you're going to hear excuses, Jordan, but they don't carry any weight.
We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3130, Tim. Let's light up these senators' offices who we have focused on. One, if you live in a state with two Democrat senators, still give them a call. It's important to, you know, that's, if you're asking what can you do, that's one thing you can do. We've got a petition out as well. It's in your emails today and again, the email is from my dad, Jay Sekulow, ACLJ Chief Counsel. The subject line is Congress Must Pass Border Line Protection Act. Went out this morning. You can sign that petition. Very important to do so. Make the phone call, the Capitol switchboard number, so you can reach any one of these senators by asking for their office. If you call 202-224-3121. Our focus in senators on the Republican side, because they didn't co-sponsor this, are Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Cory Gardner of Colorado, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine. On the Democratic side, it's Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Doug Jones of Alabama, and we'll throw in John Tester as well from Montana. So again, those are the real key action items that you can take right now by calling the Capitol switchboard number. This is all; these are all U.S. senators. That's where the vote is, not the House, it's in the Senate, 202-224-3121. Let me go right to Harry Hutchinson from our legal policy team. And Harry, the idea, as Than said, that the abortion industry is lobbying so hard against legislation like this. It found loopholes in previous legislation similar to this. It just shows you how airtight you've got to make things. But also, as Stan said, this idea of defining life at any point. I mean, we have no, you know, I'm sure it's shocking people who are listening right now that we actually have to pass a law like this.
I think you're absolutely correct, Jordan. The pro-infanticide abortion lobby is on the march, and the American people need to respond swiftly, vigorously, and vigilantly. Every year, babies are born alive despite attempted abortions. Some are left to die without needed medical care, which could save them. In fact, recently, Governor Northam of Virginia has blithely explained his support for some version of infanticide. And it's also important to note that previously, Congress has passed legislation designed to protect babies. But now we need to protect babies who are actually born alive. I think that's very shocking to think about, that in 2019, you actually have to protect life through federal legislation, which is largely opposed by the pro-abortion lobby, namely Planned Parenthood and others. And I'm also appalled by the apparent weakness or fecklessness of a number of Republican senators, along with a majority of Democratic senators, in supporting life. There is an increasing unwillingness to support life. The American people ought to respond, and they ought to respond vigorously.
All right, folks, here's what you can do. One, we're taking your phone calls. Teresa, Jackie, Nicole, Rachel, we're going to get to your calls when we come back from this break. You can also sign our petition. It's up at aclj.org. It's also in your email today if you're on the ACLJ list. Make sure you are. That's how you would have already known this morning to take action, signing our petition. That email is out. And so give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to be on the air. If you want to take action by our petition, go to aclj.org. If you want to call those senators, here's the number you call. It's 202-224-3121. That is the Capitol switchboard. That will connect you, so someone will answer, and you just ask for which office you'd like, which senator's office you would like. And we've gone through that list. We'll go through it for you again throughout the show. But again, if you live in a state with a Democrat senator or two, give them a call as well. I don't have to go through all of them because there's only really a handful to focus on there. So again, there's many ways to take action before the vote tonight. And really, when you're talking about infanticide, you're talking about banning murder. The fact that we're having to do that in 2019 to fight that battle is shocking, but it is the reality. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
The vote tonight is on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, a legislation to ban infanticide in the United States, which is murder, because we're talking about someone who has been born, a human being born. Not talking about even an abortion debate. Really, it shouldn't be about that, though it has become about that. We're taking your calls on it. I want to go right to the phones. Teresa in Maryland on line one. Teresa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, gentlemen. I just want to say, 60 years ago in Washington, D.C., I was born out of rape, out of incest. And at the age of 15, I had three children. And now I have three grandchildren. And I'll forget, by the age of 6 or 8 years old, my grandson called me up one day and he said, "Grandma, do you wish you never had mommy?" Before I got a word out of my mouth, he said, "I'm so happy you had mommy, because if you did have mommy, it wouldn't be no me." The Margaret Singers of today got to be stopped. Let's go and do our job, America. Let's stop the Margaret Singers of this world, because if they had it their way, three generations of my family would not be here today.
Teresa, I appreciate you for your phone call, your honesty, your openness. I think you're exactly right. And you know, we do a lot of work for pro-life pregnancy centers. I'm heading down for an event for a pro-life pregnancy center next week in South Carolina, Piedmont Women's Center, and their big event next week, and in Greenville, South Carolina. And those centers exist for women who find themselves, they may be young, they may find financial issues, and they exist so that there are options available to help them through the process, whether it's keeping the child and the services that are available, whether it is adoption. But what it does not do is promote abortion. Let's hear from Senator Ben Sasse. He sponsored this legislation, so kudos to him for doing this. It is just shocking that we even have to have Senator Sasse proposing this legislation. And even more shocking that, to be quite honest with you, it is a very uphill battle, and it would be just as shocking if this would pass the U.S. Senate. Can you believe that? In 2019, with all the tech we have, that a child born alive could be killed in the U.S. and there's not a federal crime protecting them. Here, let's go to Senator Sasse by five.
Everyone in the Senate ought to be able to say unequivocally that killing that little baby is wrong. This doesn't take any political courage. And if you can't say that, if there's a member of this body that can't say that, there may be lots of work you can do in the world, but you shouldn't be here. You should get the heck out of any calling in public life where you pretend to care about the most vulnerable among us.
It is one of those situations, Harry. Again, I look at the politics of it, unfortunately, heading into another presidential election early on, for the general election, but for the Democrats who are going to have a contested primary, I mean, a lot of them are coming out of the U.S. Senate. They're gonna have to make their decision on this. I have a feeling every one of them is going to vote against this protection for children.
Sadly, I think you're correct, Jordan. I think the Democratic Party, along with most progressives historically, have allowed the pro-abortion lobbyists capture their attention. And so they are quite unwilling to oppose, if you will, murder, so long as it occurs in a doctor's office. Keep in mind that what we are talking about here is protecting a baby that is indeed alive. And we're also interested in providing medical care for that baby before he or she expires. So I think Ben Sasse is absolutely correct. Any senator who cannot support this particular bill should find another role in life, perhaps working in a cemetery.
Let's go back to the phones. Jackie in Washington State online too. Jackie, welcome to JSecio Live.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I support the ACLJ, and I appreciate you keeping us informed.
Thank you.
I signed the Born to Lie petition, and I emailed both my Democratic senators. My question is, how can we find out after the vote how our senators voted?
Okay, so we'll put that up for you. Thayer, we'll do a blog on that at aclj.org. I would say for Jackie, she's calling from Washington State, one of her senators has been the lead objector to this legislation.
Yeah, that's right. So a couple of things here, Jordan. We are preparing that blog. We will tell you immediately after the vote who voted on which side of it. I think we can expect some. One that we know will be on the wrong side of this is Patty Murray from Washington. She was the one that went down to the floor of the Senate and objected when there was a unanimous consent request made to pass this. Jordan, this could have been something that you didn't have to take a roll call vote on. You didn't have to cast a so-called tough political vote, even though it's shocking to me that it would be a tough political vote. There was a request made that this pass the United States Senate unanimously, as a lot of other pieces of legislation do, and Patty Murray went down to the floor of the United States Senate and objected. You know, the other senator here, Jordan, who I think maybe is worth mentioning is Kamala Harris of California for this reason. Last week when she was talking about the Green New Deal, she said that she wasn't particularly interested in hugging a tree, but she wanted to hug healthy babies. I would just say to her, Jordan, that if she was sincere in that comment, and I know we played it for people last week, if she was sincere in that comment, then I look forward to her casting a vote in favor of this legislation tonight, because that's how she could put that belief, that statement, into public policy. Cast a yes vote tonight, Senator Harris.
Yeah, take a listen. Here she is, Senator Kamala Harris.
I didn't talk about the Green New Deal. You mentioned that, and it's a resolution that I supported, and I support the goals. And we're going to have to figure out a way to get there. We've got to realize that so much is happening right now to our planet. And look, I care about the environment, not because I have any particular desire to hug a tree, but I have a strong desire to hug a healthy baby. And this literally comes down to clean air and clean water.
You know, it's abortion distortion, Harry. I mean, that's what it is, because these are babies that have been born. They survived the abortion procedure. They are alive, and yet they are treated not even like second-class citizens, but with no citizenship at all.
Absolutely. So this Born Alive Amendment would ensure medical care in order to ensure in the future that the child becomes a healthy, living baby. It's also important, parenthetically, to note that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has suggested that as part of the Green New Deal, that people should swear off of having children. So it's very possible that there's this intersection between the Green New Deal and the pro-abortion lobby, because it's important, as one of the prior callers noted, that if you look at Margaret Sanger's history, she supported eugenics. In other words, eliminating the so-called unfit. Increasingly, progressives are committed to dealing with so-called climate change by reducing the number of human beings who are alive.
Quickly, Than, we'll discuss it in the second half hour as well. There's a couple other pending votes, one in the House, another one in the Senate this week as well.
Yeah, the big one will be tomorrow in the United States House, Jordan, a little bit after 2 o'clock is when it's scheduled for. That is a vote on the resolution of disapproval put forward by Joaquin Castro and Speaker Pelosi. That would terminate the president's national emergency declaration if it were to get through the House and the Senate and signed into law by the president. Of course, Jordan, they're not going to find the votes to override that. But that's going to be tomorrow in the United States House a little after 2 o'clock.
So we'll explain that for you when you come back. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to take action, go to aclj.org, sign the petition now, and call your U.S. senators. That Capitol Hotline, 202-224-3121.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
We will fight for the right to live in. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
We are talking about what is shocking in the United States of America in 2019. The idea that we need legislation to protect children from infanticide. Children who are born from infanticide. That has become an abortion issue. These are children who have survived an abortion, who are born alive. The legislation is the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, sponsored by and put forward by Senator Ben Sass of Nebraska. It has 48 additional sponsors, all Republicans. There are four Republicans who haven't sponsored this. I'll name them. Cory Gardner of Colorado, Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Susan Collins of Maine, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. I'm not as surprised with Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. I'm a bit surprised with Lamar Alexander and Cory Gardner. I encourage you, if you live in those states, Tennessee, Maine, Colorado, or Alaska, to call those senators. The Capitol switchboard number to reach them is 202-224-3121 and encourage them to vote yes on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act tonight when that vote is cast. There are some Democrats we believe are you should reach out to as well. If you are in West Virginia, Joe Manchin, Pennsylvania, Bob Casey, Alabama, Doug Jones, we can throw in there John Tester as well from Montana, who's been a bit wishy-washy on this as specific vote. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. We're going to keep talking about this topic, but then I do want to update people on a couple of other action items moving through Congress this week, one in the House tomorrow and another one potentially later in the week in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, so first in the United States House, Jordan, tomorrow they are going to officially take up the resolution of disapproval as it regards the president's national emergency declaration for the southern border, the access for funds that the president would use to build a wall down on the southern border. That resolution was brought forward by Joaquin Castro. Speaker Pelosi is going to put it on the floor of the U.S. House tomorrow. There's going to be a rule vote. It looks like it's going to be somewhere between 2 and 2:30 in the afternoon, and then a final passage vote, assuming the rule is passed sometime in the evening, probably in the 5 or 6 o'clock hour, Jordan. Essentially, what that would do if passed, and it is likely to pass the House, is say that the United States House votes to terminate the president's national emergency. It would then get sent over to the Senate. It would have privileged status, Jordan. So it's actually possible it would pass the Senate as well. But if it does, the president has said he is 100% committed to vetoing it. And Jordan, I do not think that either chamber can come up with the 2/3 vote margin necessary to overturn a veto. But tomorrow that process will get started in the United States House. The other interesting piece of action potential for this week, Jordan, is on the Green New Deal. Leader McConnell in the Senate has said that the Senate is going to vote on the principles of that resolution. They've put it into resolution form. He has said that it may come up as soon as later this week. Jordan, I do think there is the potential for the National Emergency Declaration to get sent over to the United States Senate. And if Leader Schumer invokes his right to bring that immediately to the floor, the vote on the Green New Deal may slip until next week, but it will come up very soon one way or the other. So it's going to be a very busy week. We start with that Born Alive vote tonight. Tomorrow, the House will move to consider that resolution of disapproval regarding the national emergency. And then sometime very shortly in the coming days, the Senate will take up the principles embodied in the Green New Deal.
All right, folks. So there you go. I mean, there's a lot moving this week in Washington, D.C. Harry, your thoughts. I just wanted to get your thoughts as well on the national emergency vote. It's interesting. It's a resolution. It has to pass both the House, which is likely to do, the Senate, less likely, but then it would have to survive a veto as well.
Precisely, but implicit in and actually explicit in the resolution is an acknowledgement of the president's national emergency power declaration. So, in other words, he has power to issue this emergency declaration. The House, Senate, and Senate resolution, if it passes, will actually explicitly acknowledge his power. He will likely veto it, and his veto will likely be sustained.
So if you're the DOJ in court, this is not bad evidence to have that Congress is acknowledging your power to do this.
So that all of these lawsuits that are out there, they will find that this resolution adversely affects them.
We'll be right back.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now, online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls. We'll play more sound from you on U.S. senators supporting this legislation because I want to make sure you understand that there are a lot of good U.S. senators all on the Republican side. I'm not trying to make it a partisan issue because there is a chance to get a couple Democrats on board here, maybe a Doug Jones from Alabama, a Joe Manchin from West Virginia, even a Bob Casey from Pennsylvania. And there's four Republicans who decided not to co-sponsor this with the rest of their entire caucus. Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Susan Collins of Maine, Cory Gardner of Colorado, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. So, again, I'm not trying to make it completely partisan. The truth is, though, it's pretty darn partisan when you look at the makeup of it. But for a handful of Republicans, I really do, at the end of the day, believe Lamar Alexander gets a yes vote. Probably Cory Gardner and Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, as you know, if you listen to this broadcast in the past, very difficult on these issues of life. Let's go right to the phones. Nicole in Oklahoma on line 3. Nicole, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi. I actually had a question about citizenship.
Yep.
If an American has a baby on American soil, it's considered an American citizen. If an illegal has a baby on American soil, it's considered a citizen. So why are these babies born alive and not considered American citizens?
So, I mean, I'll go to both to Harry and Than on this. I think it's a unique point. Harry, under the law, it's because the law treats anything that involves abortion differently.
I think that is precisely correct. But I also think that interpretation of the law is a huge mistake, and indeed it is unconstitutional analysis on its face. Clearly beyond question, if the child is born alive, the child in the United States, the child is a U.S. citizen. And it's very interesting to note the irony here. The Dems are constantly pushing the idea that a child born to an illegal immigrant is instantly granted citizenship and all of the protections from the United States Constitution, but a child born through a failed abortion procedure is not considered a person in the eyes of the elites from Washington. So the quintessential question for every Democrat, for every Republican, for every presidential candidate is, do you support life? And at the end of the day, the failure to support life, in my opinion, can be linked to a progressive ideology that arguably suggests that so-called individuals who are considered defective should not be granted life. This goes back to Margaret Sanger. This goes back to the 1930s. This goes back to Buck v. Bell and the sad days where women's reproductive capacity was destroyed in the name of eugenics. And so at the end of the day, I think essentially what we have here is the opposition between those who support eugenics and those who oppose it, those who support life and those arguably who support some version of infanticide.
Thad, you think that another Democrat senator should be added to the call list, and that's Senator Tim Kaine. Now, he was Hillary Clinton's running mate. She was out there supporting with Governor Cuomo in New York, the horrible legislation there, which I think, you know, it's stirred up this debate. You know, was it the pro-life community who stirred this debate up that we're having right now, an abortion once again in this kind of clash of culture wars? It is the abortion industry and its supporters that are in elected office. But you believe Tim Kaine is possibly gettable on this?
Well, I hope so. He should be, Jordan. I mean, unfortunately, I don't know of another way to describe his track record on these issues other than it seems to depend on when in the political cycle it occurs. Because I agree with you, when he was running with Hillary Clinton, this is a piece of legislation that I am almost certain he would have opposed. Now that he's not running and with his faith background, maybe this is a vote that we could get him on. I would say this, though, Jordan. I think you're right to point out the fact that the reason that this legislation is necessary is because of the abuses in the industry that we know are happening. I mean, if you only look at the CDC numbers, Jordan, we know that this type of atrocity is happening. It's not a figment of the imagination. These babies are being born alive, are not being provided care, and they are dying on that medical table. So, you know, Patty Murray can say that it's unnecessary. It's a political stunt. We're talking about real human lives, and the pro-abortion lobby, Jordan, they are the ones that has really precipitated this debate. But guess whose job it is to see it through and to make sure that those lives are defended? It's the elected officials of the United States, and that's why we're calling the United States Senate to do the right thing tonight.
Brenda's calling from Georgia on line 5. Brenda, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Good morning. My question is, Jordan, does the person that's involved in this, when they're actually on the table and the baby is supposed to be aborted and the baby does live, does the person that's having the baby know that the baby's alive before it's aborted?
This is how, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it would depend on what state the situation, the woman seeking the abortion is in. You know, how much anesthesia, if she is awake to make that, if, again, you decided that beforehand, which the abortion industry doesn't even want that to be, you know, some kind of option. But listen to how this is. Remember what started all this. It's the now infamous governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, during a radio interview about a legislation moving in Virginia that would have legalized infanticide. He is a pediatric neurosurgeon. I know he hasn't come across a very smart guy in the past, what, it's been months now, I guess. It's felt like months, certainly. But this is what really started a lot of this, was because how he described the exact situation you're talking about, Brenda. Take a listen.
When we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
So, I mean, there you go. But, Thad, in this legislation, as shocking, we've talked about that sound before. I just want to remind people how this all kind of got restarted again in the United States. This is about criminalizing the abortionist, not the mother or the woman who is pregnant who goes in for the abortion.
Yeah, I think it's very important to point out, Jordan, I mean, because the caller is certainly correct that consent would have been obtained from the woman in the first place. Although, before I rush past that point, Jordan, I would tell you that the reason the abortion lobby opposes giving women all of the information about the procedure, including the fact that the child might be born alive, is because if that information is provided to the mother in advance of the procedure, in almost all cases, Jordan, the mother chooses life when they see the facts about what is going to take place. But you're correct. In this legislation, the criminal penalties that would attach, the prison time and the fines that would attach, all of them are on the abortionist performing the procedure. Because remember, Jordan, that is the person with certification. That is the quote-unquote medical professional, although that is a term that I'm not sure should apply in this situation. But they are the ones with the duty under this legislation. They are the ones that must admit the child to a hospital for care and provide life-saving care. The mother in no way would be held liable under this legislation. All of that duty would lie on the one that is performing the procedure.
Kathy's calling in from Virginia Online 4. Kathy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks,
hey, Jordan, I'm the parent of a child with special needs, yep. And, you know, I don't know who I would be if I was not Clay's mom.
Yep.
He has taught us so much about the meaning of life and has put so many things in perspective for us. And I used to be a huge advocate after he was born, but I burned out when I went, you know, in front of the budget committee in Virginia, and one of the Virginia slate senators was falling asleep while I was trying to testify. And had he ever accepted one of my requests to meet with him, perhaps I would have recognized his face, and I would have asked for them to stop the digital clock that had 3 minutes on it for us to speak. We came all this way, so we had 3 minutes to speak, and this big digital clock staring us in the face, and yeah. I would have asked for them to stop the clock while the senator finished his nap.
Yeah.
I am a Democrat, but I'm not sure how much longer, and I just want to appeal to other Democrats to save our party. We need to educate our young people about socialism. Can anyone give me an example of a socialist country that its residents are not running from? Cortez and farting cows, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
In one sense, I hope that they will continue to embarrass themselves because they'll do themselves in. In another, I wish Nancy Pelosi and others would get a handle on this. I believe that having both parties is crucial.
Yeah, no, well, Kathy, listen, I think you're right. I mean, we're a nonpartisan organization, ACLJ. This show, we don't tell people how to vote. I think for Democrats, I mean, you have good advice as a Democrat that its party needs to get itself under control. People like Nancy Pelosi need to show some control as well. They're supposed to be so tough, so strong as leaders, and yet they're totally controlled by the abortion special interest. You know, the Green New Deal you talk about, these ideas which are just absurd, and yet they're all tried to defend it. And when you get to a piece like this, I mean, I've testified before Congress too, and so I understand your frustrations there, but I think you're absolutely right. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
All right, final segment. The number you call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Lance writes in, is being pro-choice up to 20 weeks a conservative platform now? I just talk about legislation. I think you have to have, there is realistic legislation and there's forward-looking legislation. I think there's two. Sub is the legislation. There's heartbeat legislation. We're working on that. There's the 20-week legislation as well. I think it's all important. It's not saying it's good that this is all we can stop, but it is also testing how you know the standing of Roe versus Wade and the following decisions from the Supreme Court with the science and technology that we've now developed that we can detect a heartbeat so early on.
I think that's correct. I also think that these discussions advance the political debate for the American people and American voters. And so the legislation that Ben Sasse has proposed, I think, is very, very helpful, whether it passes or not, because then the voters can hold the politicians accountable. And voters are becoming more and more sophisticated, more and more knowledgeable, in part because of the advancements in science and ultrasound devices, which confirm what many of us knew, that life begins at conception. So I think this political debate, which is ongoing, is extremely helpful.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. We take calls in our final segment. We're going to do that right now. Let's go to Rachel in New York on line 2. Rachel, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Yes, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your organization, all you guys do. What the reason I'm calling is because I have a quick question. Is there anything that hasn't been mentioned or something new that we can do to kind of, you know, help our leaders, in our case, Governor Cuomo, you know, regrow a conscience and reconsider any future legislation or, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, there's a lot of good that is being done in things that are currently going on, but is there anything new that we can do or that is, you know, being thought of that, you know, that can help these things yeah. from, you know, not going on again?
You know, here's how it could have prevented. In New York, the state legislature had to move this forward. And you know, Rachel, up until very recently, there was Republican control there that could have prevented some of this. Now, a lot of Republicans in New York, and I'm not saying you, I'm not saying all, but a lot of Republicans in New York who identify as Republicans do not identify as pro-life. I mean, that's just been the case. Not for all elected officials, by the way, in Congress or anything, but it's not as uniform as maybe if you get into a red state, you know, where typically most of the Republicans would identify as pro-life. So what I think would be focusing in on your local elections, whether it's for the assembly or the Senate there, because to get to the governor's desk, it had to get through that legislature. I think they did it just switch there. I mean, it was pretty recent. Republicans had been able to kind of keep this legislation down in New York. And it was happening even at like a local level, like New York City Council level, instead of the state level, because Republicans had some control in Albany, and now they don't.
Yeah, that's right. And honestly, Jordan, I think New York was in the place that Virginia is in now just a couple of years ago. So I would say no matter where you live, you got to take a look at where your legislature is on that spectrum and try to stop it where it's at. I would just quickly say two things, Jordan. First of all, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, we need to start electing people, leaders who respect life. And then second, when there is a disrespect for life on one of these clear-cut issues like infanticide or the New York law or the law that was proposed in Virginia, Jordan, there needs to be a political price to pay. I mean, if you look back at that committee hearing, the delegate Kathy Tran, who put forward the Virginia bill, was having to answer questions about just how extreme her bill was. Jordan, she knew in that moment she was paying a political price. You could see the grimace on her face. And look, this is not about revenge or vengeance or any of the rest. But if we want leaders that are going to stand for life, when leaders take the opposite approach and when they are actually antagonistic against life, they need to pay a political political price. And that only happens if we're paying attention both on the federal level and then at the granular level down at our state.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, again, so don't just think governor. I mean, Governor Cuomo was going after Cardinal Dolan and his own Catholic Church. And again, I'm not going to get into his theology there, but, you know, calling like a radical pro-life positions. Let me take the next call. Marion in Virginia on line one. Just do not forget those election. The governor could not sign that into law in New York if it didn't pass the what it there, the bicameral legislature there, which is the assembly of 213 members, and then you've got a Senate, state Senate there of 63 members. Couldn't get there to Cuomo. Cuomo and Hillary Clinton wouldn't be celebrating it if the legislatures didn't put that on his desk. Marion, you're calling in from Virginia on line one. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you so much, and God bless you. Besides using the killing of a born alive baby for political purposes, we are totally coming against the God that created this whole universe. And we are going to pay a stinking price to him because we cannot get by with killing these children. And he is going to, he will judge us. The whole thing is terrible. It's there, as it's been said, these children are the most vulnerable, but the entire abortion industry is just doing it because they make money from it. And we Americans have got to take some strong stand and stop sitting back in our seats of comfort. This is something that it's way beyond just politics. And who does what and to whom? We're going to be judged as a country. We got to understand that there is a God in heaven, and He's watching everything.
You know, that's why, Marion. That's why we fight for what is right, even if it's an uphill battle. The majority of the American people, Than, are against this kind of late term abortion, not banning infanticide. I mean, that is a vast majority, even if people who consider themselves pro-abortion do not support this kind of legislation and do not support this kind of activity being legal in the United States.
Yeah, they don't support it, Jordan, and they understand that there's a role for all of us to play as well. It's why we're so supportive of crisis pregnancy centers. It's why you're going down to South Carolina next month. Jordan, look, I think back to the call we had earlier in the broadcast. I think her name was Teresa, and I would just remind Marion of that call. You know, Teresa had pregnancies in very tough situations, and yet now, looking back on it, those are some of the greatest blessings of her life. So I would just close the note on maybe this optimistic note. Even though there are all of these attacks on life, we can make a real difference in real people's lives if we are there to support them when they encounter these difficult situations. And Jordan, at the end of the day, if life is chosen, I think pretty much everyone would look back on that decades from now and be grateful that there were people that stepped in and helped them choose life. So along with opposing these efforts, along with supporting the Born Alive bill tonight, let's look around for the people around us who maybe we can help through those difficult times.
Folks, let me encourage you, go to aclj.org. Stay with us today because we will keep you updated on the vote scheduled later tonight to criminalize infanticide in the U.S. I mean, that is how simple it is. We've also upcoming this week, Senate potentially voting later this week on the Green New Deal. Would love to see where those Senate Democrats come down. And the House scheduled to vote tomorrow on a rejection of the President's declaration of the national emergency. So we'll talk about that tomorrow as well. We'll keep you updated on this vote tonight, Protecting Life. Stay with us. Stay up to date. Facebook.com, ACLJ, ACLJ.org. We'll get a blog up so you know how your senators voted on this legislation. We will talk to you tomorrow.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, ACLJ.